Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile. It's the podcast where we walk home from the movies. And Home Alone is back in the movies.
And this is our annual Christmas episode.
Yes.
So happy Christmas, everyone.
Happy Christmas, everyone. So unfortunately, we're not actually going to get to the cinema to see this. But what our plan is, this is our plan. We're going to snuggle up on the sofa tonight with our two boys, Christmas tree lights on,
Yeah. Light
the fire. This is going to be a lovely sort of Sunday afternoon vibe.
We hope.
And
they might not like it.
It's the first time our kids will have seen Home Alone. They are 6 and 3. I think this is the really ideal age for this. I was 6 when I saw this in the cinema with 1990. It had a profound impact on me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being very scared by that boiler in the basement, just like Kevin was. And I thought he was awesome, and I thought what he did to those burglars was brilliant. But
Kevin's
in retrospect, it is
an
incredibly violent thing to do.
But I can't wait.
However, they are home intruders.
It's been a long time. It's always magical. The music lives forever in me. So let's go and watch it, and we shall report back on whether it works for a 6 and 3 year old, and get back into the plot, because right now I can't remember the specifics, so I'm looking forward to watching it and talking about it, because it's such a classic.
Right, so we'll be back in a minute after we've watched Home Alone.
Bye.
Bye.
Where are you going? We're going to miss the plane!
When the McAllister family left on their Christmas vacation...
Did we miss the plane? No, you just made it.
Yeah!
They forgot one small thing.
Have yourself...
I have a terrible feeling. Christmas.
Did you lock up?
Yeah.
Do we set the timers on the lights?
Mm-hmm. What else could we be forgetting?
Our troubles will be ours.
Kevin!
Home Alone.
Police in the northern suburbs are on the lookout for a pair of burglars who are calling themselves the Wet Bandits.
We know that you're in there.
It's Santa Claus and his elf.
Get off my property.
This is my house. I have to defend it.
Where's your mother?
My mom's in the car.
Where's your father?
He's at work.
What about your brothers and sisters?
I'm an only child.
Where do you live?
Can't tell you that.
Why not?
Because you're a stranger.
He's a kid. I mean, what can a kid do to us?
Kids are stupid. I know I was.
You still are, Marv.
This is it.
Ow! I don't care if I have to get out on your runway and hitchhike. I am going to get home to my son.
Oh, hi there.
Hello.
We've seen Home Alone. A quick warning, it's very windy, so it's going to sound a bit windy, I think. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can hear it coming through. There's a yellow weather warning here. So apologies for any crackly, windy noises. But it's all atmospheric,
it
right?
It is, yeah.
It's Christmassy.
Is it?
So, spoilers...
I would have thought the sound of snow falling, if that had
no,
a sound,
there we
would
go.
Be Christmassy.
Now, normally on The Cinemile, we do spoiler straight, but I think this being a, 33-year-old movie, we're just going to go straight to spoilers. If you don't know that Kevin McAllister is home alone and defeats some burglars, then you have been living under some sort of rock once a year.
And this is not the podcast for you.
No. So, Home Alone, we watched it with our kids. Have to report that they loved this movie.
Absolutely loved it.
And
yeah.
I would describe the experience of watching it with them as quite special.
I would as well, and I wish we'd made it to catch it in the cinema, because it's so timeless. It could be a new release, except for a few things we'll get into. But in a general sense, it's so timeless. But I have to say, watching it with the kids was quite special, because they were the slapstick in this film is something else to the kids. But mostly I think it's because they identify so much with the protagonist. Like, in their heads. Like, at one point Oscar said out loud, I wish Kevin was my brother.
Oh, really?
Like, that's how much they love Kevin. And Oscar kind of got a haircut recently that's like a bit like Kevin's. And Oscar's like, I look like Kevin. He's just like, Kevin's everything to him. Like, the big brother he never had.
Well, it's just wish fulfillment.
It's
because
total wish fulfillment.
Often Oscar says to us, you know, this sounds kind of cruel, and I took it wrong the first way, but I wish there were no grown-ups.
I know, yeah.
And I wish there was nobody in our house. Like, he's expressed these things even before watching this movie. Because kids are living a world of control, right? There are rules, the grown-ups are in charge, they're not allowed to just eat ice cream and sweets all the time. We're constantly telling them no. Like, to them, that's incredibly unfair.
Yeah, like, when I said to him before, like, but what would you do if there's no grown-ups? I was like, what would you eat? Oh, I'll just go to the shop and buy food. I was like, buy from who, though? There's no grown-ups. What money will you use? Oh, I'll use the money for my piggy bank. So, like, the 100 pennies in your piggy bank. So this is, it's wish fulfillment.
Yeah. And it's fantastic.
Such a clever idea for a film. And now, I do think Elliot, our three-year-old, loved it and was laughing. But he was also slightly, he didn't like the kind of, the violence of some of it. Like, he didn't like when the nail went through someone's foot, even though they don't show you it. Whereas Oscar loved that.
And he particularly didn't like the Joe Pesci's head being set on fire.
I mean,
fire.
That's awful.
Yeah, he was like, I mean, because it's funny, but it is also incredibly violent.
It's really violent. Like, we've jumped ahead, actually. We need to pull back a bit.
Go ahead.
We need to pull back to the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Which is so iconic with this, like, first of all, most adults realise when they watch Home Alone back as adults, these people are rich.
Very rich.
Like, this house, it's like the size of 15 ordinary houses stitched together. Even the burglars are like, it's the fanciest house on the street.
Well, here's the thing, because for me, this was a realisation for me as an adult. Like, why are these people so rich? This is disgusting. But then only just now, I've just realised, wait, they have to be insanely rich because they have to be the richest house on the block, because that's why the burglars want to burgle the house.
He keeps
describing them as the big tuna or something. Like, it is actually a part of the plot. That is what it's making them an attractive
target.
Because
you'd give up otherwise. Like, you probably would have stopped trying to burgle.
Exactly. If Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern were just breaking into a 3-bed semi-D, the stakes are much lower. And also, there's far less real estate for Kevin to set up elaborate traps if they don't have a basement and 4 doors. And
so we open on this incredible place. The dad, the mom, then the cousins, all the siblings, Buzz.
Our
kids instantly hated Buzz. Buzz is a bigger bad guy than the burglars to our kids.
Yeah.
Because Buzz is like a cruel family member, which isn't something that it's not something they've seen in real life. And I don't know that they've really seen it. Like, this is a pretty grown-up movie, so most of the movies, like, really kiddie movies. He's a real bully. So our kids hate Buzz anyway, and that's probably why they want Kevin to join our family, so that he wouldn't have Buzz being mean to him.
Can you imagine a teenager being that much of a dick to an 8-year-old? I guess that happens.
It does happen. Yeah, it does. Of course, siblings are like that. You've got the cutest little Kieran Culkin.
Yes.
So cute. But anyway, it's just all Macaulay Culkin's movie. Like, he absolutely is. He's mesmerizing on screen from, like, the moment you meet him, isn't he?
He's so good. It's a really charming performance in. You can see why he became such a star, because he can do the comedy, he can do the slapstick, he acts scared really well.
He gasps a lot.
Yeah,
so, like, every
a lot
second
of that,
scene
yeah.
of Kevin is just Kevin going.
But also, he's like, he can hit the sort of emotional stuff quite well as well.
He really does.
What a talent for, like, whatever age making this.
He's incredible. I love, like, watching it now, knowing the plot, having seen it so many times, so... You kind of, when you're first watching it, like, it's just a very chaotic scene at the beginning with all the family running around and ordering pizza. But then watching it, I'm just like, oh yeah, there's Kevin's plane ticket, it's been knocked into the bin. Oh yeah, there's the, like, alarm clock being pulled out. Like, they're sowing all the seeds for why Kevin will be forgotten. And when Kevin gets sent up to the attic and everyone's downstairs. Like, we know what's coming, but our kids didn't know. Like, I thought that was so fun.
I think...
like, they didn't actually know what was going to happen. You have to find very young kids who will not know what happens in Home Alone.
And you gotta hand it to John Hughes. As you said, the thought that went into every tiny little circumstance, the dominoes that led to this, like, bizarre occurrence.
It felt believable.
It does feel believable. It's like just a series of very unfortunate coincidences.
Like the neighbouring kid. The fact that they count his head.
They're late, so they don't have time to check. They're like... Now, there is a point...
There's a lot of kids there.
There is a point at which you're like, watching as a parent... Because we're watching this as parents now, so I relate. I can't relate to Kevin and his excitement for jumping on the bed and eating popcorn, which is just horrifying to me now. I much more relate to the parents. And
I do not.
You have to ask
to
yourself
parents.
The question, could this happen to you? We all like to think, no, absolutely not. And there's a point at which, like, how do you not, like, how did she not check
the point
on her
is
own
when you're the point
kids?
Is when you're on the plane at that point the parents
go
are like,
check them, but in I know they see they also he puts the kids in coach and the parents in first
so
class
funny. But also so, I don't think in the 80s, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know that airline seats were like assigned. So, like, I could imagine it's all a bit chaotic in the airport as well. And then they... But when they go, oh, it's so good to be in first, the kids are in coach, I was laughing so much because, first of all, A, I would love to do that. And B, it's, like, such a one more clever way for us to be like...
Yeah, how do they not spot this?
Yeah, the kids aren't going to notice that Kevin's not there. But the adults are up front. And it's just icing on the cake as to, like, it's just believable enough that I do believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. Plus, it's the 80s. Parents were, like, known to be negligent.
I mean, you really feel it then from her perspective. Like, trying... And the other thing is, the 80s... this movie couldn't happen now because...
It just wouldn't make sense.
There are... Because the first thing we asked is, well, why don't they just call the neighbours? Oh, wait, no, the phone lines
I
are also down.
Talk,
like,
yeah.
They kind of... I like that Don Hughes just must have just sat there and thought of everything that somebody
said,
in this situation would do.
Definitely call the police. Why don't they call the police? And as I said that...
They do call the police.
Yeah, the police didn't try very hard, but again, it's the 80s. Well, it's also Christmas time.
I like the way you just keep saying, it's the 80s to explain away anything.
Well, like now,
that's badly done.
Apologies, we're walking up a steep hill. Now, it couldn't happen because, for example, your airline booking would all be on like your screen. And they'd be like, you haven't scanned in one of the passengers.
Yeah, exactly.
So... A lot of it can really be explained because of the when it is, I think. And then the Christmas holidays, everyone's so burned out, everyone's so busy.
It wouldn't and couldn't happen.
No.
Now. Not that it was far-fetched then as well.
I think it was really common then, actually, people just leaving their kids at home while they flew off first class. And then when Kevin kind of realizes, and he's like...
He also makes that wish.
I made my family disappear. Yeah. And then he's like, I made my family disappear. And he's so happy because in fairness, they were all awful to him the night before.
Yeah.
And I get that as well, having had three siblings.
The uncle was particularly mean though.
When one of your siblings would like provoke you and then you'd react, but then you'd get in trouble for reacting. I've been there.
Yeah.
It feels awful. The uncle is awful though.
Yeah, he calls him a little runt or something. Like, it's pretty mean just because he spilled some Pepsi on him or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what about the actual, like, meat of this film? Because it's kind of... What's interesting is that everyone remembers the kind of burglary stuff at the end. But it really is just... That's just a little bit of Act 3. There's
that's
a lot of...
a substantial bit of Act 3, though.
Yeah, true, yeah. But the middle bit of this movie is quite interesting because it's just... You know, they're kind of we check in with the burglars. They kind of keep trying to break in, but he does a lot of clever stuff with mannequins and all this kind of stuff. And that's another thing
it's
I was thinking.
So clever.
Watching this movie, why are there so many mannequins in their house? And we were teasing this out. Is it like maybe the mom or the dad are like fashion designers, or they're in the fashion business?
We don't know
what they do. Like, why do they own? Why are they so rich?
Yeah, we don't know.
I need a full account of their taxes.
I need to understand it so I can replicate
their income.
It for myself.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be a good how-to video. How to get as rich as the McAllisters.
Have you seen the YouTube video that's like Home Alone, but if it was in Ireland? And they're all like running around screaming, and they're like, "We left the immersion on!" Like, trying to get home to turn the immersion off. Love it.
So what about the actual third act then? Oh, in the middle, I like the emotional bit. It always gets me now with him talking to the old man in the church. I love this
completely
whole...
Completely flew over our kids' heads. They were like,
oh, of course.
So
they
bored.
Were so bored.
What's happening? Why is he talking to this old man? Where's the bad guys? They love the scene like when Kevin goes to the shop by himself.
But
I think they love all the scenes of like, from the kids' perspective, what would be really cool to do, which would be go shopping by yourself.
But the thing is, looking at Kevin's arc, it's all about he gains responsibility, he learns to overcome his own fears, he learns to overcome his own prejudices. This is all kind of quite interesting stuff. He overcomes his fear of the basement, of his imagination, his irrational fears. He becomes more responsible. He does the shopping. He ultimately does clean up the entire house after he has literally destroyed it.
Phenomenal
with feathers and tar. Like, how does he do that?
We can't make our house look clean. Yeah. And we just have us living
he
in it.
He sets a Christmas tree up with presents. I mean,
incredible
work.
Down.
He's incredibly responsible.
He's basically MacGyver. And I love that the film never tries to explain it to us. It's just like, Kevin's incredibly efficient. And
resourceful.
Like,
Yeah.
One thing though, when I said earlier about like how it felt kind of timeless, absolutely notable, no person in this film isn't white.
Yes,
it's
not
quite
a single, like, I mean, and there's so many options where that could have occurred, right? I mean, John Candy and his crew, like,
anyone could
again,
have been
all white.
White,
any police officer,
anyone,
even, you
but
know,
even
anybody.
These days get around it because it's like, yeah, you could have a kid who's white, but like one of their parents mightn't be,
like,
or vice versa.
Diversity in movies was not on the agenda in 1990.
It's bizarre though, because I feel like you'd have had to work very hard actually to have this many white people in one film.
Yes, I think parts of this film, you know, do feel quite dated in that regard. But other than that, this holds up better than a lot of modern kids' films we've had to watch.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And the kids have been talking about it nonstop since we watched it.
I think because he hits, firstly, it's an incredibly well-constructed script, as we've already outlined. It's very well thought out. It manages to hold credulity and kind of throw sometimes absurd explanations for why this would happen, and it's somehow quite grounded.
And the pacing really works, so there's it nips along, but spends enough time on everything.
There's also a little bit of character development, there's a fantastic third act, and there's just brilliant performances from, as we've spoken about, Macaulay Culkin, but also Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern.
They're so good.
Hats off to them. It's an incredibly physical performances by both of them,
and
they
get to their...
throw it. They throw themselves into it.
Like when we see Kevin setting the house up for them, because he overhears them saying, "We're coming back at 9 p.m. or whatever. So it only takes Kevin a matter of hours to set up this. We see him like heating the doorknob. We see him pouring water on the steps so it's going to turn into ice. We see him putting like blow torches, which seems a lot. I'm surprised. Like that would not get through in a kid's film these days. Some of the stuff he's doing, like setting people's heads on fire, like that just wouldn't get through, I don't think.
Because I'm sure surely there's cases of kids trying to reenact some of this. That would be a concern, right?
I imagine
for a modern
some of
day,
it.
Censor. Yeah.
And it is interesting that our like 3 borderline 4-year-old was like some of that. He was like, nah, this is horrible.
I mean, I do remember as a child having or concocting a plan for if burglars did come. And I would imagine some of that was instituted by this movie.
I would imagine it was 100% from this movie that you thought of that.
Yes, but I was more understanding of my own limitations and did not plan to fight back. I was basically planning to hide.
Yeah,
I had an escape plan. I had a rope ladder. I had
In your head, not in real life.
No, we got a rope ladder.
Oh.
And I had like a, you know those pull-out drawers under a bed? I was able to fit into those drawers and somehow close it behind myself.
See, that is clever. You were resourceful. I love when Joe Pesci at the very beginning, his tooth glints, and then when Kevin passes them on the street, he sees the tooth.
Yeah.
Love it. All like.
See, he thought of everything.
And the very end, when they're going, we won't go through all the terrible deeds Kevin did to them, but when they're coming through to the treehouse, and Kevin like gets the shears because he's gonna cut the rope, and then they're trying to climb back up the rope. Like that stuff is funny. Yeah. Like it's just so funny. Like it's unreal.
It's just funny watching this kid get one over on these two grown-ups.
I don't know how many times I've watched it, but I don't think I've ever been bored by it.
No, this movie nips along.
And the music is so beautiful.
The person we haven't spoken about is the other great performance, which is Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah, she's
who
brilliant.
Is the, you know, she's the real emotional core. I never for a second doubted the absolute panic and fear.
I love
with
how the dad
kind of
didn't give a shit.
Yeah, that's the thing that doesn't hold up. I'm like, why? Number one, why is the dad so chill? Number two, why isn't he involved in any of the attempts?
Well, he said, like, he shows up at the same time as her because he's like, fair enough, there's an overnight flight that will get us there.
But then at the end, he's like, now I guess they've three other kids, so maybe he has to look after them, but he's so blasé and chill throughout
the
whole 80s, movie.
I'm telling you.
Firstly, he's like, oh, bye, darling, look, good luck, have fun, we'll see you later, we'll give you a call when you get there. Then he just shows up at the end. This blew my mind. He shows up at the end in the house. And instead of doing what I would do, which is just grab that child and just hug them, hug the life out of them and say, I was so worried, are you okay? He just goes, oh, hey, Kevin.
Yeah, but do you know that there was an actual there was a reaction to, you know the way in the 50s and 60s, parents, and 40s, parents were extremely strict on their kids?
Yeah. This is the boomers,
there,
is it?
There was
this is pre-boomers,
there
you're
was
saying.
A genuine reaction in the 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s, whereby parents flipped the style of parenting and were not like that. And then we've now seen a reaction again where people our generation who may have been raised in situations where maybe they felt like they weren't being cared for enough, and now you've got the helicopter parenting back again. Like, there's genuine cycles in parenting. And I don't mean to just laugh about the 80s, and I'm not saying every parent was like that, because they weren't.
That's your excuse for everything.
But it works because it's an 80s movie. Like, it wouldn't work now because you'd be like, he wouldn't act like that. And in the 40s, 50s, 60s, it wouldn't have worked because nobody was flying anywhere and the kids would have been in deep shit for doing anything. So it perfectly fits with it's the excess. They're super rich. Like, as you mentioned, Trump's going to be in the next movie. It's like an era of excess. Anyway, I buy it personally. The only bit of this film that doesn't work for me, and I love John Candy, not a single one of his scenes made sense.
No, and they're also not funny.
They're just, it's like they're, and I, we haven't
and he,
done
he feels shoehorned in there because he's friends with John Hughes.
Like, usually on our Patreon we do like facts when we're doing old reviews, but we haven't done it for this because it's for the main feed. It feels like to me somebody wanted John Candy and they had a day to film with him and they just schlepped it in.
Well, I would imagine they've got this bit of a road trip where Catherine O'Hara needs to get back, right? And all that stuff is interesting, this, you know, because you have to create these obstacles to extend his time alone.
And we did watch Planes, Trains and Automobiles a couple of years ago for a Patreon, and it does fit very well with that film.
Yeah, but the problem is that there's a point where it cuts to her in that van and it takes you out of the action with Kevin.
Yeah.
And I found it distracting. I think I just would have preferred a scene where she is rescued by somebody and they agree, like that troop, and they agree to help her, and then she just shows up.
Yeah.
At Kevin's house. Like,
it's because they're like, oh, we've got John Candy though.
Now, that scene in the middle, I think that what they were trying to do there is I would imagine, we didn't look into this, but I would imagine that John Candy
speculate.
Came in after that. I don't think they wrote that for John Candy. Or maybe not.
But wasn't he in Uncle Buck with Macaulay Culkin?
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, and he's like, obviously clear good pals with John Hughes. But I'm saying that scene would have been written and maybe, I don't know.
Doesn't feel like it was in the original script. It feels like it was written for John Candy.
Maybe.
And it's not funny.
But it's not funny. And I guess the only argument for it is it shows the despair with which Catherine O'Hara would feel and the self-guilt. You know, she says, I'm a terrible mother.
And I like when she's like, have you ever done something like this? And John Candy's like, I never see my kids. I'm the worst dad ever. And then he also goes,
but
no,
I've never done that.
Like even within this movie where they've made us believe it could happen, everyone's like, what?
I just
What's
don't.
Wrong with
I,
you?
I, it's the scene that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, I think
just
we should.
Just on Kevin. It's all Kevin all the time. But when he reunites with the mother, gets me every time.
Oh, it's lovely.
Bawling. He's set the table for Christmas breakfast. He's the sweetest kid that ever lived.
Yeah.
I love Macaulay Culkin. I feel awful for, you know, the shit the child stars went through in the 80s and all the awful shit he went through with his parents. And I'm so glad that he just got his Hollywood star fame, because he absolutely deserves it. And Catherine O'Hara came and like did the speech for him, which is like a lovely moment. I think
he did
really
a nice
wonderful.
Speech as well.
Our kids are now excited because on Disney Plus you can watch Home Alone 2, 3 and 4. Can't say I'll be watching 3 or 4 with them, but
yeah, they
could
go on that
them.
Journey by themselves. Anyway, look, thanks for listening. This has been our Christmas film. Thanks for listening to us this year. As always, we're going to do our end of year movies next week. Sorry, our end of year roundup of our best films of 2023, and there'll be a separate episode with our best TV shows of 2023.
And worse. And we kind of can't cap off the year without saying a huge thanks to our Patreons, who are amazing, our patrons of our Patreon. And you know, we try and give a lot of the money we make from our Patreon over to charity. And this year, of course, I guess no one's really needed it more than the poor children in Gaza. And we have donated 2 months worth of our Patreon money this year to Doctors Without Borders, who are doing incredible work with people in Gaza and also campaigning for ceasefires. So thank you so much to everyone for supporting us and giving us the funds to do that. We hugely appreciate it. And thank you everyone for listening, and we will be back soon, hopefully within the next week or two, to talk about best and worst of the year.
Yes. See you then. Thanks.
Bye.
For listening. Bye.